The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck, and it's that time of year when the housing market starts to pick up steam. So if you have been thinking about selling your home, please know a couple of things. Interest rates are going up. They're going to rise the rest of the year. If you need to sell or you're thinking about it, right now is the time to list your home with realestateagentsitrust.com. I started realestateagentsitrust.com because I knew there had to be a better way to sell or buy a home. And with the market average for selling cycle of 6 to 9 months, you need to get a jump on the rest of the market. Competition is going to be stiff this year, but with realestateagentsitrust.com, my team has assembled the agents who I trust, who you can trust, who will get the most money for your home as quickly as possible. At realestateagentsitrust.com, we've taken the guesswork and anxiety out of selling your home. So put them to work for you now. Realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com.
Realestateagentsitrust.com is a Mercury Real Estate LLC.
I want to tell you about our sponsor this half hour. Thank you for making the program on the Blaze possible. It's Brick House. I take Field of Greens every day. I hate salads. I hate eating my greens, my vegetables. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Now I don't have to hate it because I have Field of Greens. You can get it and get it in your body by going to BrickHouseGlenn.com. Use promo code Glenn. Get 15% off your first order. Never have to eat a salad again.
Yay!
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Field of Greens, BrickHouseGlenn.com.
Glenn Beck.
So yesterday, last night, President Trump gave a speech at the White House addressing the migrant caravan that is slowly approaching the American border. The same caravan that everybody on TV says, don't worry about it. It's no problem. It's no big deal. It's not even going to make it. It's not even happening. And George Soros, he's a lovely old gentleman who we just think is marvelous, and he has nothing to do with it. Trump's speech, probably, I didn't see it. I was on stage last night, so I didn't see it, but I read about it. And here's my first impression just reading about it in the news. It must have been tremendous. Because they all said there was nothing but hate in it and nothing new. We were duped. We shouldn't have even carried it. Okay, so it had to be great. Let me give you the big takeaway from the speech. And that in my personal opinion, this was a speech given as an affirmation to the people who voted for him, just saying, yep, I got it under control. Whew, okay, good. Lot to take away from the speech. One moment that encapsulated, I think, the entire speech is probably when a reporter asked President Trump whether or not the troops will fire on migrants in the caravan. Migrants, listen.
I hope not. I hope not. It's the military. I hope there won't be that. But I will tell you this. Anybody throwing stones, rocks, like they did to Mexico and the Mexican military, Mexican police, where they badly hurt police and soldiers of Mexico? We will consider that a firearm because there's not much difference when you get hit in the face with a rock, which, as you know, it was very violent a few days ago, very, very violent. That break-in, it was a break-in of a country. They broke into Mexico. And you look at what's happening in Guatemala, just to mention Guatemala, along with El Salvador and Honduras. It's disgraceful that those countries aren't able to stop this, because they should be able to stop it before it starts. And the United States pays them a fortune. And we're looking at not doing that anymore, because why should we be doing that when they do nothing for us?
Wow, is that a John Wayne, Clint Eastwood moment? It the first time I've ever heard him self-edit. Did you notice that? He self-edited on the spot. I've never seen him do this. He said, you know, getting hit with a rock in the face is, well, you know, what? The same as getting hit with a bullet in the face? He recognized, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Unbelievable. This is a message for the people in Honduras, the people in Guatemala, the people in Mexico. It is also a message for anybody who is funding all of this, perhaps Venezuela. There are reports We have not verified them, but there are reports that leftists here in America are also helping the funding now on the buses, et cetera, et cetera. So this is our president. And if you don't like it, I don't know what to say, because there's a lot of people who have been waiting for a president to say, you know what, America is not of, you know, is not cheap and worthless. The Statue of Liberty in the poem by Emma Lazarus said, "I hold my lamp beside the golden door." It's a golden door. There is a door, and it's a special door. I hate to sound like, oh my gosh, Emma Lazarus might have been Donald Trump. It's a big, beautiful door. It's a special, it's a golden door. My gosh, he may be older than we think. We have a system of laws, and the president is right. When they broke in to Mexico, they tore down the gates. They were not coming in peacefully, let's say that. America has a unique spirit and a unique place, and it's worth defending. The president, of course, faces a barrage of hate every day, and sometimes he deserves it. Quite honestly, sometimes he says things, like if he would have finished that sentence, it would be like, well, that's your fault. But most times, it seems, he does not. They cannot take him. As Jon Stewart said, they are just, it's their ego. It's their ego. They can't believe they can't destroy this guy. Anybody who says, you know, let me put it this way. I wrote about this in the book. I look at people when they talk about Donald Trump, I look at them the same way I would look at somebody who says, McDonald's is horrible. Everything at McDonald's is horrible. Really? What about their French fries? If they don't say, okay, their French fries are freaking fantastic, probably not the best health for you, but they're fantastic, but the rest of the stuff is horrible. If people wouldn't say, oh, okay, I give you the French fries, but the milkshake's not even milk. I get it. You are not an honest broker of information. If you can't say, okay, this president has done some things that are horrible, some things that are good. If you can't say that as a member of the press, you have zero credibility. Zero. And don't talk to me about hero worship or selling out or anything like that. Mr. I've got a thrill and a chill running up my leg. The minute Barack Obama was on the scene, everyone had a crush on the cool guy. The media and academia have gone insane. But you know what? The media and academia went insane in the other direction for Barack Obama. Now this is toxic nonsense. Toxic nonsense. We're living in historic times. We really are. And it's exciting to live in these times. If we don't kill each other, this is a time where we all get to figure out who we really are, what we really believe in, how great we actually can be. Historic times are often turbulent times. The greatest generation, those people were fantastic. That was in turbulent times. Back in a minute. All right. Welcome back to the program. So glad that you have joined us today. We're glad that you're here. Pat is filling in because it was a late night for Boo Boo.
Oh, no.
Stu was, yeah.
Oh, no.
Stu was, mm-hmm. And so it was a late night for Boo Boo, and he couldn't get up this morning. Man.
So we found out if he does, if he's not tucked into bed by 9 o'clock, or if it's at all dangerous, he can't make it.
Yeah. Yes. Or if it's just too far to drive, you know,
right.
If it takes over 15 minutes, he can't do that.
He's really, I love Stu to death, but he is really a delicate guy, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's very delicate. Welcome, Pat. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
No, that doesn't sound like it.
It is. I mean,
is it?
It may not sound like it, but it is it.
Okay. I'm glad to hear.
Could not be any better. Look, we've got thousands of people who want to be here, and they're all headed our way. I'm excited to welcome them here.
The migrants.
Yes, straight into the homes of all the Democrats who are saying, this is wonderful. Good. Take care of them. That's what I'm looking forward to. Because I'm sure, you know, as loving as they are, they're going to want to host a lot of those families who are coming here.
Of course
think?
They are.
Yeah,
no,
I think they will.
Of course. Of course they.
I think Chuck Schumer's going to take 10 or 15, and I'll bet you Barack Obama will take another 30 or 40. I mean, he's got a huge 10,000 square foot home that he paid $8 million for in D.C. He's got some room.
And Al Gore's got several homes.
Yes, he does.
So we can do that. Let me ask you this. Have you seen what Fox News has exposed on
the busing situation?
The organized busing operation.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to any of this, though. There's no left-wing or Democrat funding of this event. This is completely organic. Well,
no.
Not exactly.
No, completely. Yeah. Griff Jenkins has now revealed multiple professional buses have lined up to board the migrants. More than 5,000 troops are now on the border. What did you think of his speech last night before we get deeper into this story?
It was strong. You know, it was Trumpian, but I thought it was pretty good. He didn't do anything that was completely off the rails. Otherwise, that's what they would be hammering today.
Would you say that that's the first time you've ever heard himself edit?
As you were saying that, I thought, I think that is a self-edit.
Play that again. I'm convinced it's a self-edit. Listen.
I hope not. It's the military. I hope there won't be that. But I will tell you this. Anybody throwing stones, rocks, like they did to Mexico and the Mexican military, Mexican police, where they badly hurt police and soldiers of Mexico, we will consider that a firearm. Because there's not much difference when you get hit in the face with a rock, which, as you know,
Self-edit. Which, you know,
crap.
It's there the same is a difference.
Same exact thing as being shot with a 50 caliber weapon.
No.
And, you know, that is a good sign.
That's a good sign. Yeah, it really is.
You know, as you know, oh, crap. It was very violent. Let me change the subject. It was great.
I've said this for a while. I think he's growing into the job a little bit. There are certain things that he does now that he never did before, like that. I mean, that's a good indication. He will, from time to time, moderate his speech. And I don't think he was really willing to do that in the beginning. But he has seen the value of that. And he has seen that he can avoid a lot of crap if he just, you know, pays a little bit of attention to his rhetoric.
Yeah, because he didn't moderate. And I mean, when he says Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, we send them tons of money. We're thinking about not doing it. There's no moderation there.
No,
he's not moderating the message. He's moderating the things that get him into trouble because he's just not thinking.
Right. Which is and again, that's what he needs to do, especially if the Democrats are going to have control of the House and everybody thinks they're going to. Because it's already going to be bogged down with so many investigations and so much impeachment talk and so much extracurricular nonsense with the president that he doesn't need to contribute to that and give them more things to investigate and to be fired up about.
I don't know if he's going to moderate when they're in.
I'm sort of hopeful.
In control of the House.
We'll see. I mean, he may not.
I don't think he's going to. They're going to be so awful.
Oh,
they're just because
no
you know they're going to investigate. you know, was the president, did he tweet while he was on the crapper at 3 o'clock in the morning? Is that where the, is that when he was tweeted this? When, sir, are you tweeting just to screw with people in the middle of the night?
Oh, I mean,
they're going to investigate absolutely everything.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Bill O'Reilly said, we had him on the other day, and he probably said the same thing to you. He doesn't think it's going to be a big deal if it's just a slim majority. He only thinks it's going to be a real hassle if they have 30 or 40 extra seats.
So Sean Spicer was on with me. In fact, Sean Spicer is doing the podcast with me this weekend.
Oh, nice.
And I asked him some... I asked him some pretty hairy questions about what it was like behind the scenes. He was really open and honest. It was a fascinating, fascinating interview. 90 minutes. He said to me, you know, my mother always said that nothing good happens after 30 minutes of talking. And I said, yep, this one's going to be 90. And he said, oh, boy. it was really fascinating because he was very open and honest about everything. I asked him, so is he strategic? Is he a genius where he knows these things are going to play out this way? And I talked about him on, you know, how much of this is just ad-libbed, how much of this stuff is strategically doing things to screw with people. Fascinating, fascinating answer. But I also asked him, what do you think about the midterms? He had an interesting point of view, and it's kind of like yours, Pat. He said, if they come into Congress and they only have the House, they're going to have to do enough to appease the crazies that they have on their side. However, they know that if they try to impeach him or cause problems for no reason, as long as the economy stays together, it won't go over well, and it will hurt them by 2020. He said, as crazy as they are, they still do have strategic bones in their body.
So he thinks if they go overboard, it will cost them the 2020 presidential election.
If the economy stays good.
That's a big if, though. That's a big if. I mean, I hope it does, and I pray it does, but that's a big if because there's some warning signs. There's some cracks in the foundation.
There's some bad things. You know, okay, so I want to get back to who's funneling money. I don't know if you saw the Project Veritas expose on Beto.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Project Veritas fan, but they've done some interesting things lately that I think are pretty legitimate, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I think so. This is a campaign manager that says we're funneling money from the campaign to the border. We'll talk about that coming up in just a second. I want to tell you about one of the cracks that is kind of a very, you won't hear it anyplace else. It's a really interesting look at why the economy might start to be pulling in the other direction. And also the new study that is out that's showing that manufacturers are not coming back to North America, and they're not coming back. More than 70% of U.S. firms that are operating, building things in China are saying we're not coming back to the United States because of the tariffs. The United States has made itself too risky to do business. It's an interesting study. We'll give that to you coming up in just a second. First, let me tell you about SimpliSafe. Great way to protect your home, to protect your business, protect your family, protect the things in your home. It's SimpliSafe. I want you to go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. This is how I protect my family. My kids' house also has SimpliSafe. It is it's a remarkable system. And when it first came out, I thought, oh, this is really good because it's wireless, so you don't have to have the wireless. It has no contract, so no wires, no contract. And I saw this as something that's really in the future. When they came to us, it was like five guys. Now they have, I think they're protecting, I don't even know how many homes, in the millions of homes now in America. And they've won all kinds of awards. This is no longer the future. This is the standard. Everyone else is just in the past. If you want the industry standard now, the gold benchmark, it is SimpliSafe.
protect your home. You're going to save a buttload of cash. You'll get 10% off your Simply Safe system, which is already very affordable. It only costs you like $14 or $15 for the 24/7 monitoring if you want it, and no contract, so you can cancel at any time. I trust my home and my company with Simply Safe. Go to simplysafebeck.com and do the same. It's simplysafebeck.com. So Project Veritas is not somebody I quote very often. You know, I quoted them when they did Acorn. And when they were exposing Acorn, until when I was at Fox, they started, I thought, getting a little sloppy, and they would not provide the full tapes. So I didn't know what was edited or not. And the only reason why it bothered me is because they said they would, and then they didn't. And so I didn't know, and it's my name on this now, too. If I'm promoting it, I want to know the facts. So I have stayed my distance from them for quite some time. They have two new pieces of audio out this week that are quite stunning. And one of them is with the Beto aides, that these two campaign staffers admit to and describe how they do it, where they are funneling money from the campaign to help transport the Honduran nationalists and also bring them food. It's highly illegal. They say on the tape, I hope nobody finds, the wrong people can't find out about this, so keep your mouth shut. We'll play the audio for you coming up next. Man, I want to thank WHP here in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We're in Hershey, Pennsylvania tonight. It's theater there, and it's a stage show. And RJ and his team, they're some of my favorite people, and we're so grateful. We joined this station that I'm broadcasting now today from. WHP, I think, was one of the first, if not the first, carrier of the Glenn Beck program. They began September 12th, 2001.
Wow.
And we are.
So they were like
very
station
grateful.
Zero.
They were.
I mean,
they
carrying were. The plague. That's something yeah. amazing.
Thank you for that, I guess.
I want to hear from people who saw the show last night, because I've heard it was great, but I can't believe it because I wasn't there personally. Wait, I'm still back in DFW. I can't believe it. I mean,
really?
It seems impossible. Like, for instance, what was the best thing in the show last night? That the stage didn't collapse under your weight?
I mean, is
that the best thing?
See, I don't need this from you. I got that from Stu all night.
I'm just saying, you know, you've let yourself go a tad since the last time they saw you live. And I'm thinking when they entered the auditorium, there had to be a massive gasp.
When I walked out, there was a little bit of, you know, everybody was clapping, and then I walked out, and they're like, oh, you can hear the audience stop clapping.
That's not him.
Oh, my God. Then they started clapping because they were a little afraid of me. They were a little afraid for me
and for themselves. Is he going to eat us tonight? Is this possible? Wait, is that Jeffy? Did Jeffy come in his stead? What happened here?
So, yeah, it's... It's not been a kind 5 or 6 years to me. But, one of the questions from the stage, I'm so bummed. I'll have to answer them later from the audience. One of the questions that we got, and we ran out of time, was do the people that subscribe to The Blaze have a different reaction in seeing and meeting you than the people who only listen to you on radio?
Oh,
because they're in for a real shock, I'm guessing.
That's fantastic.
So great. I love our audience. And at the same time, I hate our audience.
They just know too much.
They know too much.
They know too much.
It'll be a shame when we have to have them all destroyed. So if you saw it last night, call in.
888-727-BECK. Also, tonight, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Tomorrow, Pittsburgh. All of the proceeds tomorrow, every dime of proceeds is going to the Jewish community and to the Pittsburgh police.
That's great.
So join us tonight. All of the proceeds are going to my retirement fund and probably a weight loss system of some sort. So, and then on Sunday, we're in Cleveland, and it's a really funny show. Stu and I were a little concerned because we're like, you know, we're trying out jokes for the first time. And Richmond proved to be a good guinea pig. And it's a very funny show. So you're going to really enjoy it. GlennBeck.com/tour. Okay. So we were talking about this video that Project Veritas has put together of behind the scenes video of a campaign manager and what is the other person's title? What is her name? Anna Paula Thien.
Yeah.
She's
a field worker.
Coordinator.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other one's a field manager.
Okay.
And,
so yeah. these people are admitting to crimes on tape, and they're talking about taking and funneling campaign funds to the Hondurans to help feed them and bus them. Sarah, let's play the first cut, please.
I can ignore the rules and I'll I don't mind breaking the rules and I can defend any position.
I was going to use the vans too, so we could probably use that. Could we use the vans?
We're going to use that to give some of those immigrants rides to like the airport, to the bus station. I'm done being nice. I'm done being professional. You know? Because nothing is professional. None of this is like there's a rule.
Yeah, like, you know? I don't ever repeat this one's bad, but like, if we just say we're buying food for some event, like the Halloween events, because there's block walks coming up for Halloween.
Have you been able to go and like help out anymore with the other people?
Mm-hmm. I did yesterday. Tonight we get more. So it's, I don't know how that's going to go.
Tonight you get more?
There's more people coming.
More people coming? Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's 200 more.
So Jody knows that, like,
well, she doesn't know that we use the prepaid card, but it's okay. It's gonna be. She doesn't need to.
If you caught in like some sort of like, you know, violation, that's like a $50,000 fine.
Damn.
Yeah. And if you got caught with it, that's like $50,000. You know, and mm-hmm. it happens more than once. It's a lot of money, you know.
Wow. So here's what here's basically what they were saying. They admitted to funneling campaign money to bus stations and what was the other? It wasn't planes, but bus stations. And they also said that they are shipping supplies down to them and they're using prepaid cards from the campaign. And they asked, does Jody know about this? This is the campaign manager, Jody Casey. And they laughed. No, she texted us afterwards and was like, I'm so happy that we have staff that gets it and was there. I'm so happy to see you still working, still contributing. We have the best team ever. The journalist, the so-called journalist said, so Jody knows. Well, she doesn't know he used the prepaid card, but she doesn't need to know. And they laugh. So here they are admitting to crimes. And they also say, we don't really have a problem. We could justify this 10 ways to Sunday. Again, the arrogance of the progressive and the democratic socialist, they know they're right. The ends justify the means. So if they have to break the law, it doesn't matter because they know they're right.
It's truly despicable. You know, Project Veritas did something similar recently with the Claire McCaskill campaign. And the guy was telling the supposed reporter in that case that, yeah, she'll say one thing to one group of people and a completely different thing to another group of people. You got to do it, though. You have to do that. You can't let everybody know what you really think about these issues. And of course she's for an assault weapons ban. Of course she's for the semi-automatic weapons ban. But you can't say that. So
they did.
They just did this again with Gillum in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They have the campaign manager in Florida saying the same thing. Look, he's only saying this now because he's got to get the gun lovers up in the northern part of the state to vote for him. So
wow.
Now we have tape on three major Democrats all admitting to lying, distorting, and this one breaking campaign finance laws. And the press isn't going to care about this. Press won't care.
Not at all. I haven't seen anybody carry this story.
No.
I'm not sure Fox has even carried it. And they normally do carry the Project Veritas stuff. So maybe they will. But this is it's a pretty big deal, too. That's a major violation of campaign. This isn't like, well, we just donated too much as an individual. We donated 5,000 instead of 2,700. It goes so far beyond that. These are things that are illegal that you cannot do. And nobody's going to care about it.
Nobody's going to care. Now, here's the thing that, you know, the campaigns could easily say, the Gillum campaign in Florida, McCaskill, and also the Beto campaign, they could all say this. These are minor people.
Uh-huh.
They don't know. They're acting on their own. However, they're not even saying that. They're not that what they should do is fire those people. Say that. And then fire those people. These corrupt people will stay with these campaigns. And when you teach a campaign and a corrupt campaign that you can get away with anything and be exposed, people can know you're saying these things behind the scene and nobody cares. What do you think they're going to act like when they have real power? So whose fault is it that Washington is corrupt? It's the fault of the media and the fault of the American people. If you hear these things and you're like, oh, come on, they're just taking a few dollars and they're going across the border and they're funding these caravans, while the press is saying there is no funding from the Democrats, there is no funding coming mm-hmm. from America, while they're saying that and you don't care, Democrats, you are in deep, deep trouble. Deep trouble. Your soul, your country, possibly your life. Look at who these people are. If you disagree with them, they will destroy you. If you disagree with any of their policies, you know, I don't believe that there are 100 genders. You're out. You're out. There's no big tent here. So if you think that you can get into bed with people who believe you disagree with me, you're out and we'll destroy you, what happens when you've taught them that corruption is cool and then you want to point out, hey, wait a minute, guys, you're getting a little out of control here. What do you think they're going to do when they have power?
It's going to get a lot worse.
Democrats have got to wake up. And I don't mean the Democrats in Washington. And this really kind of depends on us. If we're calling everyone a communist, we're part of the problem. Because there are communists, and there are democratic socialists, and there are, you know, Antifa, and all of the radicals that want to destroy the country. But there are also a lot of Democrats that don't. The regular voter out in the middle of the country that doesn't like any of this. And they're just barely waking up. But they don't trust Project Veritas. They don't trust Fox News. They don't trust Glenn Beck. They have to trust you. Hopefully you haven't destroyed your credibility. Don't send them things that you can't verify. Don't send them things that aren't rock solid. You have to keep your credibility so you can go to them and say, this is crazy. What do you think of this? Did you see this? What'd you think of this? Let them talk, you know, let them reason it out. Don't shove it in their face and say, you're so stupid. Don't shove it in their face because that's not getting us anywhere. It's not getting us anywhere. Don't call your friends names. Don't call your family names. Don't tell them that they're stupid or blind. They are blind, just as blind as many Republicans are, who will just go along with whatever the Republican Party says. Hey, tariffs are great. No, they're not. we've known forever, and they're about to cost the country possibly the 2020 election if it goes wrong. Don't just blindly go along and treat your friends on the other side with respect and try to get them to think these things through. That's the way to win in America for the next phase. All right, our sponsor this half hour, we want to thank Blinds.com. Boy, the holidays are here already. I mean, their Christmas station started officially yesterday. The holidays are here. Blinds.com wants to help you get your house ready for the holidays. I mean, if you're one of those people that, you know, invite relatives to your house, then they stay, they sit in your chair. I mean, what were you thinking? So anyway, new custom made-to-order blinds. You can get them now through November 5th. Your Blinds.com order is guaranteed by Thanksgiving, or they're free. And every order gets free samples, free shipping, free online consultation. Blinds.com, they're going to answer the questions via phone, email. They're going to help you every step of the way at Blinds.com. Right now, through November 5th, you buy one blind and get the second one 60% off. Plus, you can take an additional 5% off site-wide if you use the promo code BECK. Your order delivery is guaranteed by Thanksgiving, or it's free. So I'm kind of torn because I don't really care about the relatives. Oh, yeah, my windows look like crap. Shut up. You're eating my food for free. So you kind of hope that they screw this one up, but they usually don't because they're so good at what they do. Blinds.com, now until November 5th, buy one, get the second one 60% off, plus an additional 5% site-wide at Blinds.com, promo code BECK. Blinds.com, promo code BECK. Exclusions, rules, and restrictions apply. Some more raw audio from the Beto campaign talking about funneling money down to Honduras. It's quite shocking coming up. Also, I'm going to put this Don Lemon, you know, white men are the terrorist in our country, to bed. I am sick of it. I'm putting it to bed coming up in just a few minutes.
But first, we got to talk to some of these people that were in Richmond at your performance last night. Because, first of all, I think they need to prepare others for what they're about to see. You know, with your incredible weight, I think we don't want others having to swallow their tongue. Four right. people swallowed their tongues last night.
Okay, but, all right.
I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, you have.
All right, we got Robin. Robin in Virginia.
Hi, Robin.
Hi.
Were you there last night? I was great.
I was there last night.
Yeah,
it was great. It was absolutely wonderful. I laughed hysterically. And I was the one you handed the bucket of pizza to when you walked out.
Well, see, you know, it's not that I don't keep giving. It's, you know, I fed exactly. the audience last night. So,
wow,
that's great.
Yeah, you fed everybody.
Yeah. Robin, thank you so much for coming.
Okay,
I'm glad you were there.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
We got Karen in Virginia. Karen, go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, Karen.
Hello. Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
So, first of all, I got to tell you that I watch you on The Blaze all the time. And
so
my husband will come in and see you, or he'll come in and he'll leave. He'll come back in. He'll go back out. He'll come back in. He goes, does Glenn know that he looks like Colonel Sanders?
Okay. All right. Okay. This is not helpful. This is just not helpful. Karen, thank you for coming last night in Hershey, Pennsylvania, tonight, tomorrow in Pittsburgh, and Sunday, Cleveland. GlennBeck.com/tour.
Glenn Beck is coming live to talk about the right path forward and to make fun of the people standing in the way. He might not be able to save the country, but at least we can all go down laughing. Glenn Beck Live, the Addicted to Outrage Tour. On tour this fall.
Glenn Beck.
So, in my book, I talk about Don Lemon. And I talk about how Don Lemon said that, no doubt about it, Donald Trump is a racist. And I tried to explain to him what he was feeling and how wrong he was, trying to explain to Don Lemon, no, I can see how you see it that way, but here's actually what you're misinterpreting. Don Lemon and no one in the media is actually interested in hearing a different opinion. They are convinced they're right, and anyone else is either a liar or part of the problem or just been zombified for Donald Trump. None of those things are true. Some people have been zombified. Most people have not. The people who are true zombies are the ones that can't listen to their rhetoric and notice something's not quite right. Don Lemon got a lot of heat this week for something that he said. I mean, it is the most contradictory statement I've ever heard anyone make in history. Here's what he said.
So we have to stop demonizing people and realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, to the right. And okay, we have to start doing something about them.
Okay. All right. We have to stop demonizing people and realize that the biggest terror threat is white men. Wow. One of the craziest and most racist thing I have ever heard. But screw the white people. So the backlash began to pile up. And Don Lemon, you would think in a reasonable world, would go, okay, I wasn't thinking or whatever. But that's not what he did. Now, the media doesn't understand why Donald Trump says you're fake news and you're an enemy of the people. They don't understand it. Well, let me explain it. With things like this, it shows you are an enemy to the people, to a large number of people in America, because you are wrong. And then when you're caught in that, you don't apologize. You actually double down. Here's the next day, Don Lemon.
Tonight, I also want to talk about some uncomfortable truth. The truth about who really carries out domestic terror attacks in this country. Earlier this week, I made some comments about that in a conversation with Chris. I said that the biggest terror threat in this country comes from radicals on the far right, primarily white men. That angered some people. But let's put emotion aside and look at the cold, hard facts. The evidence is overwhelming. A recent report from the Government Accountability Office shows that. Even though more people died in attacks connected to Islamic extremists, the vast majority of deadly attacks in this country from 2001 to 2016 were carried out by far-right violent extremists.
Okay, this is fantastic. This is fantastic. How do you argue that? It's actually quite easy because those overwhelming cold hard facts are not flawed. They are flawed the way you are presenting them, because you're not presenting the entire picture. Cory Booker basically said the same thing, and the media is treating them as absolutely right. Well, we're not going to do that. If they were right, I would say, I'm sorry, America, I got to tell you the truth. He's right. But he is not right. They're quoting from the Government Accountability Office report on countering violent extremism. So Lemon alluded to cold, hard facts, but he didn't give any context. Context matters. So we'll do it because the media won't. During his sorry, but not really sorry, mea culpa refusal, Lemon quoted a GAO report finding that from September 12, 2001 until the end of 2016, there have been 80, I'm giving you the actual facts, he just alluded to them, there have been 85 extremist attacks, and 73% of those documented attacks were committed by right-wing people. Case closed, right? 73%? Are you kidding me? 85 attacks, and 73% are documented right-wingers. Well, that's overwhelming. Those are the facts. No, they're not. Because what you have to actually look at what they're talking about. If you look at the listed attacks, you'll see a few things that are kind of peculiar. Now, it's very obvious from Lemon's rant that he was talking about domestic terror, right? They are, the white man is the most responsible for domestic terror. But the GAO report lists cases that don't have anything to do with domestic terrorism.
The GAO counted every single case where a fatality occurred and the attacker had an affiliation with right-wing or white supremacist affiliation. Well, here's what that list includes. That list includes prison murders. Again, does anybody have a doubt that there's right-wing white nationalists in prison? When they kill each other, that's on the list. That's murder, gang violence, where race, religion, or sexual orientation were not the motive. One case out of the 84 was a member of a white supremacist street gang that killed his own father. That's murder. That's not terror. That's murder. And it's a white supremacist. He's in a white supremacist gang. He killed his dad. That's murder, not terror. So the report that Cory Booker, by the way, it's about to get much better. The report that Cory Booker and Don Lemon are using to show that white men are the most dangerous terror threat includes prison and gang crime, where many times race or bigotry wasn't even the motive. So does that say they're skewing this? They're not really telling you the truth? Absolutely. If your case is built around this report and you try to label an entire race of people as dangerous terrorists, that's not just insanely dishonest, that is racist, Don. You are saying that white men, there were 85 incidents that you say are domestic terror. Okay, now here's where it really gets interesting. Don does point out that there were more fatalities from Islamic extremists versus right-wing extremists. Right-wingers killed 106 people, as documented in the GAO. Right-wingers killed 106. Jihadis killed 119. Now, I also found an even more interesting fact here. The GAO report did not include any attack unless it included a fatality. Now, how many, and remember, I don't ever ask a question that I don't know the answer to, how many multiple attacks have happened from Islamic extremists that don't show up because they didn't kill anyone or they were thwarted by the FBI? Not in this report. Now, if you're going to call all white people terrorists, you might want to have the information to back it up, more than a flawed study that includes prison and gang violence. So we went to the Department of Homeland Security. From 2001 to 2013, there were 53 Islamic terrorist attacks here in America that were foiled by law enforcement. From 2014 to 2016, with ISIS alone, there were 101 foiled attacks. So, in the span of the GAO study that Don Lemon is quoting from, there were 154 foiled attacks from Islamic extremists. That's a lot more than the entire 84, if you're keeping track at home, or 85. So you combine that, you combine the right-wing attacks and the Islamic terrorist attacks, including the prison and gang violence, and there are still only 85 incidences? Really? Because the jihadis tried to kill us on our own soil 154 times. So which one is more dangerous? And if I said, you know, they tried to kill us 154 times, clearly all Muslim men are the problem here. Muslim men are the biggest danger in America for terrorism today. Don, do you think I could get away with that? Or do you think you and your network would deem me a racist? Remember, I don't ask any questions that I don't already know the answer to. Unlike Booker and Lemon,
I want you to know I am not stating the facts of the 154 to demonize, because I am not saying Muslim men are our biggest terror threat. I will say Islamists, and I don't care what race they are, Islamists are our biggest terror threat. That could be a woman, that could be a man, that could be a white guy, it could be an Arab guy, we don't know. But Islamists are our biggest terror threat. Not all Muslim, not all Arab men. How dare you, Don Lemon, become the racist that you have always said we should never become or be? How dare you become Mr. Whitey 1956? But even more irresponsible than Don Lemon is CNN. CNN, this is why the president says you're an enemy of the people. What do you call an organization that backs up the use of a twisted, flawed study or report on that study and says that, what is it, 40% of the country? White men, 30% of the country is white men, that 30% of the country needs to be dealt with. Well, who doesn't think that's racist? I'm not labeling all Muslims as terrorists, because that would be irresponsible and flat out wrong. But more irresponsible is going on national cable TV on a supposed news network and then tailoring facts that you absolutely had to cherry pick and ignore, while at the same time demonizing an entire race of people, while at the same time saying we shouldn't demonize people. False narratives, propaganda. They are only successful when questioning stops and you're not doing your own homework. This is why the progressive and now postmodern movement is not teaching our children how to think. They're teaching our children what to think. It's why you are shouted down and you are put behind a digital ghetto wall where you can say whatever you want, ask any question you want, but no one will hear you because of the algorithms. They are trying to teach America as they taught Megyn Kelly. Don't you dare ask a single question, because once you cannot ask a question, flawed thinking, flawed facts, and I'm sorry, Don Lemon, but the shoe fits you today. Racists like Don Lemon, get away with it.
It's Friday, November 2nd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm sure Pat has some things to say about that.
I am just...
Pat.
Yeah.
Pat joined us because Stu is too sleepy after the show last night, even though I carried that man on my back all night long. We'll get to Pat's comments here in just a second. First, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It is X-Chair. You're sitting in your studio, so you don't have an X-Chair yet.
No, Pat. Not yet.
No.
No,
it's too bad.
Sure it's on the way, though, right?
Yeah.
It's in the mail.
Oh, my gosh. It's
in the
coming.
Mail.
So,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, usually it takes, 24 hours to get one, but yours is, for some reason, going to be a little later.
A little longer.
Anyway, X-Chair is great. It's a great, comfortable chair. I'm sitting here at WHP today, and no offense to WHP, but, RJ Harris's chair, which I'm not allowed to sit in, I think, is very nice and very comfortable. I'm sitting in one of those staple chairs, which, ow, why are we spending so much time in our office in those Staples chairs? Stop it. This is the most comfortable chair, and it's also really good looking. It is the X chair. You get a free footrest right now, and it's $100 off on the entire chair, so you're going to save money. They also have a money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, they'll just come and, ship it back and refund all of your money. It's great. Use the promo code Beck. Check this chair out. Go to xchairbeck.com and read up about it. xchairbeck.com, or you can call 844-4XCHAIR. 844-4XCHAIR or xchairbeck.com. There is a great chapter. In fact, there's two really good chapters in the book. One is about Don Lemon and when he called the president a racist. That is, I think, a really important chapter to read.
But you said there's, two good chapters in the book? There's only
84 chapters.
Shut up.
Two of them are
shut
good?
Up. No, there's another chapter as well that's on Samantha Bee. There's two behind the scenes kind of stories that I've never told before. That both of those people should read, but they won't. But the Don Lemon thing is really disturbing, and more so that he feels empowered by the people around him, Jeff Zucker, all these people.
Yeah, because Chris Cuomo.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of this. That study included gang violence of a white supremacist who killed his dad. That's murder. That's not domestic terror.
You know, and if you're going to include gang violence, why aren't you including all gang violence? Gang violence, there's an average of 2,000 gang-related homicides a year per year. So I guess
they're not
terrorists, but what the do you white call guys all the, are.
What do you call all the gang murders? All the gang murders and all the shootings in Chicago? People who live in Chicago.
Pretty terrorized.
Are terrorized.
Yep.
They're terrorized. Blacks that live in those neighborhoods have nothing to do with it. They're terrorized by those gangs.
How many times we've heard about children who have been killed in these crossfires where bullets just go through homes' walls and kill somebody inside? I mean, they live in constant fear in these neighborhoods. Plus, the other thing that was so bizarre was the prison violence. Prison violence is not domestic terror. Can we all agree on that? Prison violence is not domestic terror.
First of all, we're talking 84 people. 84 people.
What was 85 instances and 103 people?
No. It was 103 people. But I was referring to 85 people that did this.
Right.
And 100 and what is it? 101 or 103 people that were killed in these.
Right.
That's in prisons. That's gang violence, white supremacist gang violence, but no other gang violence, and leaving out all of the foiled Islamic terror. It is such a dishonest.
Yeah.
Zucker and everybody at CNN, if this was about anything else, if this was about jihadis, they would find every single way to make sure that wasn't aired, wasn't included. And if Fox News said what he said about Muslim men, would rightfully be called racists
and probably drummed off the air. And the other point about this is the fact that they're calling Nazis right wing. Nazis are not right wing. Nazis are about oppression and big government, and that is not a right-wing principle.
They are national socialists. They're national socialists.
Leftists.
Richard Spencer, if you listen to the interviews with Richard Spencer, who's the head guy of this movement here in America, he does not believe in the Bill of Rights.
Not
he does
at all.
Not believe in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. He does not believe in the Declaration of Independence. He does not believe in capitalism. What conservative does that sound like? That sounds like a democratic socialist.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference between democratic socialist and national socialist is one uses the flag and race, and the other one uses communism, the worker of the world, and the poor oppressed. Welcome to the program. We want to thank WHP, our radio station, our affiliate here in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We're in Hershey, Pennsylvania tonight. Tomorrow, Pittsburgh. All of the proceeds going to the cops in Pittsburgh and to the Jewish community. So it's a free show. So don't expect too much. No, I'm kidding. But make sure you come. tomorrow in Pittsburgh, tonight Harrisburg, and Sunday in Cleveland. Been a long time since I've been in Cleveland, so looking forward to seeing you in Cleveland, Ohio.
I'm also interested in hearing about last night in Richmond, Virginia, and the shock and awe that people must have felt when they entered the auditorium and saw your enormous size for the first time in the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, I got this from Stu all night on stage. I don't think I need that from you. I really don't.
You know, because, I mean, from my understanding is several people swallowed their tongues. They were...
Okay, stop.
They gasped so hard, their tongue went down their throat. It's strange. But let's talk to Andrew, who was there. Andrew in Virginia. You were at the show last night?
I was. Glenn, I wanted to say I'm glad you made it out after your comment. Being in a theater, invoking Lincoln.
halfway through, I start just, you know, ad-libbing off the top of my head, and I start down this road where I realize I'm going to make Abraham Lincoln a hero, and I'm in Richmond, Virginia, in a theater. Not a good idea. Did you enjoy the show yesterday, Andrew?
I did. One thing I thought was fascinating was what you brought up in your book as well about the moral test that's going on right now and probably likely to make it to the States in due time.
It's really, really remarkable. Were you surprised at the show at all last night? Is it what you expected?
Yeah, it was. Not just as you typically do dissect. And I'm always amazed at how you're able to find facts and stats that no one else can. But not just what's going on in the world as we know it, but what is coming in the future. Yeah. And to be able to point to some of those different things, I thought was great.
Andrew, were you aware that the Richmond Fire Department had to remove a wall and lift Glenn into the theater in a crane? Did you know about that?
I did not, but I heard you talking earlier about the, I think people were a little bit amazed, or the, entrance for you. Not a lot of people were clapping because they were confused by, seeing you walk out with Chicken and Colonel Sanders there.
Yeah. If you haven't seen me, since, you know, I left, Fox.
Yeah.
There is quite a shock coming your way.
Surprise!
All right. Thank you so much, Andrew. I'm glad you were there. You can get your tickets at glennbeck.com/tour. Let me go back to Beto here and the tape that Project Veritas has come out with. And what they have are two staffers that are field staffers. One is a field manager and the other one is a field coordinator for Beto here in Texas. And the media is not paying attention to this at all. They should. These guys are admitting to federal crimes. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about taking money from the campaign and buying bus tickets, buying airline tickets, and food and blankets, and helping people from Honduras get to the United States.
And there's also another field manager, Andrea Reyes, a field manager for the Beto campaign. And she's talking about how she's got proof that she shared this with the campaign manager. Here's what she said.
I don't really know. Those are kind of questions. They said it was fine. I knew.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I told you. About it. I have the messages to prove it. So.
So you told like Jody or?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I told Jody and I told
Yes, Jody, the campaign manager.
I know that.
Can you translate here? Because
She says,
because I can't understand it.
The thing is, as long as we're not advertising it, I mean, I don't really know. They said it was fine. So, and then she continues talking about Jody, the campaign manager. I mean, I don't know. Okay. I told you about it. I have the text messages to prove it. So what she's saying is she informed Jody, the campaign manager for Beto, that they were sending these funds to, I guess, the Honduran caravan people.
And they were, and she told the campaign manager about it, and they were fine with it. And she has the text messages to prove it.
I can't. I mean, I just don't understand how Texas, how this guy is even close. First of all, he is a Democratic socialist. I mean, he is as left as they come, out of line with Texas. He is a postmodernist kind of guy, out of line with Texas. Now, taking campaign funds, and even if they were low staffers, this has been out since yesterday. There's been no move to get rid of these staffers. No move of him having to come out and say, oh, we would never do that. And, we, you know, these guys did it. They did it on their own. We fired them because we won't take that. None of that. How is Texas voting for this guy? I don't think he's going to win, but I don't even understand how he has 20%.
I don't either. She, you know, the Project Veritas person posing as a journalist says, so you actually told, he asks her point blank, you actually told Jody? Yeah, I told Jody and I told my director. Well, okay, that's a problem. And
that's a crime.
Yeah, it's a crime.
It's a federal crime.
Yeah.
You know, Project Veritas, and I remember I talked to James, what's his last
O'Keefe.
Name? James O'Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to James when he was first starting out, and I thought he was a really nice guy. And he had the right intent. And, you know, he may still, and I'm not throwing him under the bus or anything, but I was concerned about how sloppy they were at times, and that he would sometimes, I felt, creatively edit things. And for instance, when the New York Times caught the O'Keefe reporter, do you remember that one where they were trying to get inside of into the New York Times, and the New York Times reporter figured it out and just embarrassed that person? It was just sloppy, and he shouldn't have done that. Now, I think he's cleaned that up and he's gotten smarter because the stuff that he's coming out with now is really, really important, really important. And if he is as buttoned up as I think he is right now, this is stuff we have to pay attention to. And we got to bring it to our friends who are Democrats on the other side of the street, not the other side of the aisle, because the aisle implies a politician. They're not going to care. Other side of the street. The people who are in your neighborhood that may not have woken up, and don't take this stuff to them and say anything other than, have you seen this? What do you think of this? Well, James O'Keefe, well, what do you know about him? Because I agree. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. I don't know. But, you know, I could have a very good conversation with people saying, yeah, I know. He's done some things that I don't think are great. But he's also exposed some things and he's been right on the money. What do you think about this? I mean, do you take Rowan Farrow as a credible source? Well, of course I do. Okay. Well, he's been wrong on a couple of things there. I mean, Kavanaugh, he was wrong on. So, you know, people can be wrong. The question is, how do you excuse this? Because there's no way to take what they said out of context unless what they said right before was, okay, I mean, if I were doing this stuff and, you know, I wanted us to look bad, what I would say is roll tape.
Right. Which didn't happen. Yeah.
Right. And for them to have these guys on tape saying this and then Beto not coming out and saying immediately, okay, guys, I looked into this. Those guys are wrong. And that is illegal. And we'll pay the fine or whatever, but I've put out this paper and we're not doing that. We are not putting money toward the Hondurans. We are not. We did. Apparently, these people took some of those funds, but I've corrected that. We will never do that. If they're not doing that, how do you trust them with anything? And I would say exactly the same thing if a Republican were doing it. And those who listen to me know I would.
And can you imagine if this were
Ted Cruz we were talking about? Would this be this would be on every broadcast. This would lead every story. This would lead every newscast. This would be on New York Times, be in the Washington Post. It'd be everywhere, and they'd be demanding his head. They'd be demanding.
Okay, so let's reverse this. If staffers were caught on tape by Media Matters, okay, and they were caught on tape, and they were saying, yeah, well, don't say this. We don't want people to know, but we've taken some of Ted's campaign cash, and we're actually paying patriots to come down and live on the border and have their guns and make sure these Hondurans are not getting coming across. Do you think every single operation in America would be on those tapes? And even if they said Media Matters, they have got a, and none of them would, but Media Matters has an axe to grind. Media Matters is not a credible source. But here's the person saying it. We reached out to the campaign to get an answer. That's the very least that should be done.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to do it. Mm-hmm. They're never going to do it. And Pat, don't you think this is why people feel that Donald Trump is justified in some way to say the press is an enemy of the
yes.
people.
Yes. It's part of the reason he got elected, and it's part of the reason they feel justified when he says those kinds of things. And
right.
when he says it now, you know, I think a couple of years ago I might have been irritated by it. Now I tend to think, well, yeah, that's how they act. They act like an enemy of the people.
I'm still bothered by it because it just... It's not helpful.
It isn't helpful. Right.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's not going to change anyone's heart. You know, it's not going to get anybody on the left to go, now, wait a minute, does he have a point? It's because it's too big of a broad brush. Yeah. You know, it's like Don Lemon. Don Lemon making that statement, he could have said, look, you know, white men and people who are in these white extremists, they are a real problem that we should address.
And he didn't qualify it like that at all.
He didn't qualify.
Yeah.
He said white males are the biggest terror threat.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to listen to him? He could have a valid point, and no one on the other side will listen to it because that's the approach. We can't approach it like that. Because we're the ones that have to change people's hearts. The other side, the extreme left, they'll just kill people. If you don't agree, they'll either shame you and run you out of society or kill you. And those are their words. And I'm not talking about Democrats. I'm talking about the extreme left. That's what they do. We have to change people's hearts because I don't want to round anybody up and I don't want to kill anybody. So we've got to change people's hearts. And we have to start doing that now before this gets even worse. If you are looking to sell your home, I have the real estate agent for you. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. If you are looking to move to another part of the country and you don't have any idea, I have the real estate agent for you, realestateagentsitrust.com. You want your home sold on time and for the most amount of money? realestateagentsitrust.com. You are trying to sell your family house or your mom and dad's house? realestateagentsitrust.com. These are people have been fully vetted for their knowledge, their track record, and their results. We get the cream of the crop. This is not a, realestateagentsitrust.com is not a real estate agent. What we are is a company that finds the best real estate agents, no matter what company they work for, and recommend them to you and put them in touch with you. It's really a great service if you're looking to sell your house on time and for the most amount of money or find your perfect house. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Go there now. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
Glenn Beck.
Hey, Glenn, I saw the show last night. I'm so glad I went. I took my 27-year-old son, who actually paid for my ticket and took me. We both thought it was great. He said it's up to his age group to let their peers know exactly what's going on and change people's hearts peacefully. Thanks for sharing your knowledge and being a great influence on my son. Great show. And don't let them tell you that you look fat.
She's exactly right there. By the way, we're not telling you you look fat. We're telling you you are fat, that you're enormous. And beyond all that, it's just, you know, you're morbidly obese. So there's real danger here as well.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
For yourself and others. When you collapse, you're going to take out a whole subdivision. That's what I'm worried about.
All right. So tonight you can see us in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And the great thing is the town smells like chocolate. So you think I'm ever leaving? Not a chance.
Oh, man.
Wow. Hershey, Pennsylvania tonight. You can get your tickets at glenbeck.com/tour. Tomorrow it is Pittsburgh. I'm donating all of the proceeds to tomorrow night's show to the police officers in Pittsburgh and also to the Jewish community in Pittsburgh to show our solidarity with both of those groups. And Sunday we're in Cleveland, Ohio, and can't wait to see you in Cleveland. Grab your tickets now. It's a lot of fun. Very funny show. It's glenbeck.com/tour. Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast.
Glenn Beck.
So Donald Trump, he gets a bad rap, and we've all seen it. And yes, the guy does have some distinct qualities that separate him from other presidents. But all too often, the left depicts him as some cannibal goblin that wants nothing more than just to eat your children in small rabbits. And that's it. And that's only a slight exaggeration. They now have developed this habit of calling him a racist and also calling him, quote, literally Hitler. Meanwhile, Obama remains, you know, cool guy, you know, heroic foil. He's here to save the day. So it's nice to hear things about Donald Trump on the human side because you never hear them. We've seen it despite the media's attempts to hide it. Most recently, we heard kind words about Trump from Rabbi Jeffrey Myers. Now, he's the head rabbi at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. The rabbi shared about 20 minutes with Trump and his family. Now, remember, the mayor of Pittsburgh said, don't come here. Don't make this about politics. But the rabbi decided this isn't about politics. He's coming to pay his respects. They spent about 20 minutes together. Now, the rabbi got hate mail. Was that from the right-wing extremists? Or was that from the left-wing and the, you know, the Democratic enforcers? So the rabbi shared about 20 minutes with Trump and his family. And that's a heck of a lot of time to spend with the president of the United States. During this time, President Trump partook in a candle lighting, then he laid stones on a memorial outside of the synagogue. In a interview with CNN, here's what the rabbi said. I must say that throughout the time we spent together, I was pleasantly surprised by the warm and personal side to this president. I don't think America has ever seen it. Now, I wonder why America has never seen it. Is it possible that the media gatekeepers can't give us any sign that Donald Trump is not just evil itself? Worse yet, we learned earlier this week the rabbi's death threats. Just for welcoming the president into the synagogue. The irony and hypocrisy is sickening. So, why dwell on that? Instead, let me leave you with this thought, the kind words from Rabbi Myers. I don't really foist blame upon any person. Hate does not know religion. Hate does not know race, creed, or political party. It's not a political issue in any way, shape, or form, because hatred doesn't know any of those things.
It's Friday, November 2nd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
From WHP in Harrisburg, where we're going to be performing tonight at Hershey, Pennsylvania. Had a great time last night. Thank you, Richmond, for coming and just laughing and having a great time. It was really an interesting. It became almost an interactive show, even though I didn't get into any of the questions because we ran out of time. The audience was, I mean, it was a free for all at some point. It was a free for all, and it was a lot of fun. GlennBeck.com/tour. Tonight, we're in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Tomorrow in Pittsburgh. All of the proceeds are going to the local police force to support them and the Jewish community. We are grateful for what they both bring into our communities, and we'll show their support by turning over all the proceeds of tomorrow night's show, and then Sunday in Cleveland, Ohio.
I understand in Hershey they are removing a wall at the theater right now so that you're able to
shut
enter the building.
Shut up. Just shut up. Really. You know, I had to put up with this with Stu all last night, and then Stu, we're on the bus, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's like, I think I'm going to be too sleepy to come in on the show tomorrow. Like, going to be too sleepy. Well, I'm going to be well rested. Thank you. So Pat is sitting in for Stu, and I don't know why you have to pick it up where he left off. I just don't. I don't think.
Well,
it's
I
don't think it's
obvious truisms that must be revealed here, and I just right. want people to understand when they come into the auditorium in Hershey. Not to be, you know, flabbergasted to the point where they flee the stadium. I don't want that to happen.
Okay, shut up. So I got some questions from the audience last night, and I didn't have a chance to address them. So let me address some of them. Who will be the Democratic candidate for 2020?
It's a good question.
I think it's too early to say. I don't think it's going to be Elizabeth Warren.
I got some possibilities.
Who?
One of them is Beto. One of them is Beto.
I think that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
I think Beto is going to be on that stage.
He's a good mix.
He might actually be the guy.
He's a good mix between a politician and a rock star. And, so you don't have to go to let's say, Tom Hanks, who really, I mean, nobody knows anything about his policies, where he stands on issues, how he would run. But this guy has all of this momentum behind him now. And he's a politician.
Except he's not going to win.
He's not
going to
win. No, he's not. And
you did say that you would eat your underwear if
he
Beto wins.
Yes.
So we're doing live coverage on the Blaze TV on Tuesday night. It's going to be quite the coverage.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh. We're bringing in a lot of friends, and we got a lot of voices, a lot of faces you recognize, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Our coverage will begin at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. And so, you know, I'm bringing a chef in to prepare underwear in many different, you know, there'll be some, you know, Asian Pacific underpants that you can try.
So we've got a lot of different underwear recipes. Lots of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's classically trained, too, so he can just make some French sauce.
I don't even know what you marinate underpants in before you, what, grill them?
Well, that's a barbecue. That's when we're going to be barbecuing some underpants for you. But,
okay. All right.
You know, we if you'd like, we could have him make Fruta de Lume
sauce.
I can't say it now. I can't say duck au l'orange, fruit a loom au l'orange. I was like, I can't say it without the duck in it. I don't know why. Okay, so I think you're right. I think it's going to be Beto. Another question. What do you think will happen when the Honduras caravan reaches the U.S. border? My hope is that it doesn't reach the U.S. mm-hmm. border. If it does, I think we are going to see the coverage on CNN and MSNBC and the BBC and everything else,
You will mm-hmm. see the coverage that you see on the Israeli border with the Palestinians. You will see a very skewed look. They are going to show all of the things that are bad for the United States and good light for the Hondurans. And this mm-hmm. will begin our forever border struggle like Israel has. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I agree 100%. It's going to be ugly. If they make it to the border, the press is going to be hoping for incidents, for something to go wrong.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've got a real, you have a real recipe for disaster. You talk about recipes for underpants. There's a recipe for disaster. I don't even want to think about it because it could get ugly.
And here's the thing. You need to be saying to your friends right now, what is going to happen? I mean, they're moving troops there. Would you ever bring your children to that? Would you just ask this question of your liberal friends? I mean, you know, I've got compassion for those guys and I can see that. But would you ever bring your children to that? How dangerous is that?
Absolutely not.
You don't do that. Get them to acknowledge now, because if it happens, there are going to be children involved, and that's who the media will focus on. And you have to right now get your friends to recognize that that is crazy and irresponsible to bring any child to this. You don't do it.
And that's something we don't talk about enough. There's absolutely no responsibility, no accountability on the part of the parents involved here.
No.
And some of them are unaccompanied, supposedly. I mean, I see scant few children to begin with. But the ones who were there, many of them are unaccompanied. So parents said, okay, go with these people. I understand that conditions are probably not ideal in Honduras. But couldn't it be a heck of a lot worse when you turn them over to 7,000 people you don't know? And then just say, good luck on the 2,600-mile walk to the border. And then when you get there, if the military's there, keep your head down. I don't even understand that. I don't get it.
No, neither do I. Glenn, what would you tell the Republican Party they should do before the midterm to rally voters, conservatives, independents, and even uninformed Democrats? I don't know. Tell them about the border. Tell them about the $42 trillion plan of the Democratic Socialist, show the radicals in the Democratic Party and how they are not like them, and show them the debt that we have, show them the truth about everything that is going on, and say, which you got to choose. But it's not going to happen. I mean, it's not going to happen. People are already set in their ways. And this, I think, do you think this is hyperbole, Pat, to say, because I've always hated this. This election is the most important in your lifetime. The next few elections actually are, and not in our lifetime, but in the lifetime of the Republic and the Western way of life. These next few elections could decide whether the West survives or not.
Yes, because they're going to determine whether we turn to socialism or not.
And not the kind of socialism. And this is the thing I so want you to understand and share with your friends. There is a difference between a Democrat who wants a bigger welfare state. Canada is not a socialist state. They have socialist medicine. Mm-hmm. They have socialized medicine. They do not it's not a socialist state. It is a capitalist state. So there are those who say, I just want more, government programs. They're not socialists. They just disagree with us on where, where the limit is on government. That's not a socialist. That's certainly not a communist. A socialist, a democratic socialist, go to their own website. Don't take this from me. Listen to Ocasio-Cortez. They do not want capitalism as part of this country. They think capitalism is a failure and it's time for it to come to an end. That's not the Netherlands. You don't build IKEA in a socialist country.
That's a capitalist market.
Same with Norway, with Nokia, and you know, Finland with their industries, and Sweden. Those are all really, they still all are involved in the free market in some way. So every country that's pointed out as successful socialist, they're really not. The socialist countries you can point out are Cuba, Venezuela. China even has a hybrid now of communism and capitalism. That's why they've lifted 400 million people out of poverty. I mean, capitalism has saved billions of people on this planet.
So in the show that we have, I show the stats of what the Western world has done in the last 20 years. And Pat, I read these stats one by one and they go up on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, probably 70% of them, 50 to 70%, got the audience gasping.
Really?
They were like,
wow.
Oh my gosh. You could hear the audience saying, how do I not know this? How is this true? This can't be true. Is this true? How do we not know this? The stats of what the West and particular America has done. Staggering.
I believe it.
But nobody's willing to talk about it. It's going to be up to each of us as individuals. By the way, all of the stats are in the book, Addicted to Outrage. And it shows you, because there's a section, we have to decide, are we good or bad? Is the Western way of life worth saving? Well, you need to know. Here are the bad things. Here are the good things. We lay it out in the book and also on the stage show. It's Addicted to Outrage. Tonight, you can see the stage show. We are in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Then we're in Pittsburgh tomorrow night, and then Cleveland, Ohio. And after that, we are going to Florida. So check it out on the website at glennbeck.com/tour. I want to talk to you a little bit about ZipRecruiter, but I want to say this. Control of the House and the Senate are at stake, and our job is to find the most qualified candidate, right? Too many people don't do their own homework. When it comes down to it, and I know even I do this sometimes when it comes to a local election, I'll go to Pat and say, Pat, have you looked in the judges? Do you have any idea? You need somebody to help filter the information when you're looking for the best candidates. It's our responsibility to do it, but especially if you're going to do a job search for your company, that's a lot of people that can come in, and a lot of these job, you know, headhunting services, they just dump all of these resumes, and you don't know which are the good and which are the bad, and you have to sort through them all. This is what makes ZipRecruiter different. I want you to go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck and try ZipRecruiter for free. You're going to find the qualified candidates really fast. You're not going to dig through the piles. You're not going to be, you know, there's less waiting and more hiring going on when it comes to ZipRecruiter, because they have powerful matching technology that scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills, experience, and education for your job. Specifically, they learn what you are looking for. It's a game changer. So if you're looking to hire the right person fast, now you get a qualified candidate answering your ad within an hour. It used to be 24 hours. It's now an hour. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. It's free. Try it now for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. All right. I'm going to be at the M1 Ball. This is our annual fundraising for Mercury One. This keeps the lights on and the doors open. So when we fundraise the rest of the year, when we say this is a crisis, we need money to go to this crisis right now, we don't take a dime of any of that. We do this one fundraiser a year. Jeffy's going to be there. Stu's going to be there. Pat will be there. Sarah, I will be there. There's some really great talent that is going to be performing there. Lots of details, and you can find out about it at Mercury One. I'm a horrible salesman on this kind of stuff. But there is mercuryone.org. You can find all the information. Go there and look at the auction.
We're doing an auction online this year. We have an auction during the event, but you can actually bid. You don't have to be at the event. You can bid. We are auctioning off something that I cannot believe we even have access to. You know, last year we had the Gettysburg Address, the original Gettysburg Address in Lincoln's handwriting. He was asked at the time to make a copy. So there's only two of them. I think one is in Washington and one is the one we had access to. Okay. These are, this is in his handwriting.
Jeez.
We were allowed to make a digitized copy of the original Gettysburg Address, the only one from the master. It's the only copy from the master. And we are auctioning it off at this Mercury One gala. I mean, I was like, can we just Xerox that? And they're like, no. It's the only copy. And we're thrilled to be able to have the opportunity to auction that off. So there's some really cool stuff from dinners out to services to cool stuff to wild history things. Mercedes, we're giving away a Mercedes for with raffle. Your odds of winning a Mercedes, pretty good. This raffle,
Last year was like 2,500 to one or something, wasn't it? It was good odds.
Yeah, we don't sell very many tickets to this, so your odds are really good of winning. Mm-hmm. We'll fly you in and you can drive it home. Brand new Mercedes. Check it out now at mercuryone.org. Mercuryone.org. If we want the government to do less, we have to do more. Help us with our mission. Mercuryone.org. The very interesting poll that has come out on the trade war. A new poll, 70% of the U.S. firms operating in southern China are considering delaying further investment in China and are moving manufacturing facilities to other countries as the trade war deepens. This according to Reuters. 64% of the companies say they are planning to relocate supply chains outside of China, which is going to hurt them. But only 1% of those companies said that they would consider making a manufacturing base in North America. North America, that means Mexico or Canada, not just the United States. Only 1%. As the trade war deepens, supply chains in China are forced to shift to Southeast Asia. Now, U.S. firms have reported that trade wars have increased competition from rivals in Vietnam, Germany, and Japan. While Chinese companies say they have faced increased competition from Vietnam, India, the U.S., and South Korea. One of the president of AmCham in South China said, it could very well be that people are holding back on placing orders until times are more certain. Or it could very well be that they are shifting to other competitors. This is really important. They are shifting to other competitors who are willing to offer cheaper products, sometimes at a loss, in order to get market share. The problem here is once you lose market share, it's really hard to get it back. So if you're a supplier and you've lost market share, what are you going to do to get those people back? Excuse me. The survey also found that wholesale and retail sectors have suffered the most from U.S. tariffs. Nearly 85% of U.S. firms say they have suffered from combined tariffs, compared with only 70% of their counterparts in China.
I'm getting really excited for the negotiation tactic to kind of kick in. And, that was just a negotiating thing. We're taking off the tariffs now. When does that happen? Is that going to be soon?
It was Donald Trump's tweet yesterday about China and, you know, his meeting with President Xi that I think is turning the stock market around. Because the stock market is seeing all of this. We have lost, let me get the exact number, $8 trillion have been wiped off
just in the last couple of weeks, $8 trillion in the stock market.
Yeah.
Because
most of that people, tech firms, right?
No, this is global stocks.
Okay.
So this is stocks in China, the stocks here, $8 trillion. And experts are saying it's because the markets are fearing a full-blown trade war, which nobody wins.
Right.
Nobody wins. And so prices are going to go up. They already are. 80% of companies here in America say they're starting to hemorrhage because prices have to go up. And it's not going well for us.
It never does. It never does.
Never does.
Trade wars don't go well. It doesn't work. And this is what we said in the beginning. Don't do this, please. Well, it's just a negotiating tactic. Oh, okay. Well, then let's hope he pulls the trigger on this soon. Pretty soon. Let's get the negotiating done and stop the trade war.
We also have some information on gas.
Which gas prices, this is actually pretty good news, expected to plunge sharply in the last couple of days here leading up to the election, maybe nearing $2 a gallon at some stations in low tax states. So
why is that?
Well, the sudden respite at the pump comes from lower oil prices and declining wholesale gas prices.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
It could amount to a colossal collapse in prices for consumers, which, you know, kind of doesn't usually happen. The price drop usually is realized down the road somewhere and it comes gradually. But they're saying this might happen a lot faster in time for the election.
I don't know if it's going to do anything, but that's good news. And also kind of a good punishment for Saudi Arabia as well, having oil prices plunge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about the statue in India made by the Nationalist Party?
I don't think so.
In India?
Mm-mm.
So they're trying to do this thing, you know, of the forgotten heroes of India. And so they've put together a statue of, I don't remember what his name is, a guy I've never, ever heard of. And he was a freedom fighter for independence. Now, if you're watching The Blaze, look at the screen. This is the largest statue ever and the largest statue in the world. Statue of Liberty's torch comes up to about his bottom of his skirt thing, his shirt. That's how big this is.
Good heavens, that's gigantic.
Yeah. It's gigantic.
Wow.
It's taken them 10 years to build. They just cut the ribbon on this thing. And, I mean, I've never seen anything like that. Have you?
No. No, not if the Statue of Liberty comes up to his little skirt.
Yeah. It's more than
just past his knee.
More than twice the size of the Statue of Liberty.
He's wearing wearing a mini skirt. And so
I don't think so, but okay, so now here's the interesting thing about this. Not only that they built it, are you familiar? I read a book called The Skyscraper Curse. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever heard of this?
No.
About skyscrapers? Okay, so if you go back in time, you go back to, I think it's Woolworth, around 1912, 1950, when we first started making skyscrapers. If you look at, there's two things that you can learn from these skyscrapers.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the day they cut the ribbon on the skyscraper, it is the peak of that company. They always go downhill from there, okay? Usually. With an exception of the cutting of the ribbon on the Woolworth skyscraper, like 1912 or 15, every time the world has made a world-shattering record skyscraper, when that is cut, the economy, the global economy, tanks. And they think it's because there's this great book. I'll have to look it up for you. Great book on this, where the guy took the,
you know, kind of the anecdotal stories. Mm-hmm. And he actually went back and he tracked them all and he's found it. And he says the reason why he thinks it's happening is because when you're going to build something that large, it takes so many banks to be able to fund it that it shows the money is very, very loose and free, and everybody, it's at the top of everyone's ego. It's at the top of everyone going, oh, this is going to last forever. And the banks are willing to give you all that money. And now that these skyscrapers are so expensive, the one they're worried about now is the one that's someplace in the Middle East, and it's been delayed, but they think it's going to cut its ribbon, I think, next year. Is anybody, you know which one it is? I can't remember. But it's enormous. I'm wondering if this statue for the Indian economy is going to play a role like that at the height of the arrogance.
Very possibly. There's one in Riyadh that's been planned for a long time. Is that the one you're talking about?
Maybe. They started it, then it was delayed, and they say they're going to cut the ribbon like 2020, 2019, 2020, something like that.
And it was supposed to be bigger than the Burj Tower in Dubai. So the thing's massive. Yeah. It's just absolutely massive.
Yeah, by a lot.
Yeah, by a lot. Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't remember the exact numbers on it, but it was considerably taller than the Burj Tower.
How would you feel about working or living in a tower that size?
I think it'd be cool. I'd love it. I'd love to. But they don't do that anymore in the United States. We don't build those kinds of towers anymore. You notice that? I mean,
we kind of
got out of the skyscraper building industry.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't find them. You know, when I lived in New York, I lived in the Bloomberg building. And I don't remember, was I on the 65th floor or something like that? And I just remember thinking, God help us if anything ever goes bad. You lose power. You have to walk down and up 65 floors.
Yeah.
It's craziness. Can you imagine? I mean, the Towering Inferno, or what was that new rock movie, which I actually enjoyed. I thought
Skyscraper.
That was fun. Skyscraper.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it kind of get like that to where there's no help?
Yeah.
How are they going to help you?
Yeah. In the good times, it's really cool. And your view was great. But in the bad times, it's really, really bad. Yeah. You're dead. You're just plain gone.
So there's a couple of upsides. I mean, if we're going to put a pro and con list, you know, view, and on the con list, burn to death.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
Okay. All right.
Also not good was this. Did you see the woman in who welcomed President Trump to her neighborhood the other day in Pittsburgh?
I don't think welcome.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, I don't.
Huh. It's
you
interesting.
Have the audio?
Yeah, I do. Okay. She was pretty adamant about him being there.
Yeah. It's not about you. Let the families grieve. This is our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You are not welcome here.
Wow.
Sorry.
I've met these people.
We don't want him here. We don't want him on our streets.
Okay, so
we
she's speaking for everyone.
Shiva, because you're blocking our streets. These people can't grieve.
They can't.
You're causing them pain.
Mm-hmm.
You don't belong here. This is our neighborhood.
Gets more interesting.
We welcome everybody here.
Right.
You are except not you. Welcome on my neighbors that were killed.
I love this. I
How
love
great is that?
The. I love the fact that they don't hear it. And
I know.
It's in the same sentence now. It used to be kind of far, like, you know, yesterday you said this, but today you said this. Now it's like 4 words ago.
I know.
You said this.
Wait, you welcome everybody, but I'm not welcome here? What?
So technically the first part of that sentence isn't true. I'll let you know.
And I love
one last story.
Okay, go ahead.
One last story. There was a woman who was caught, I guess, burgling a restaurant. We don't know exactly what she was doing, but she had somehow or another climbed into the ceiling of this restaurant. and then waited for them to close. And she set off the alarms when she fell through the ceiling tile. By the time the police got there, they couldn't find anyone because she was back in the ceiling. And so they start kind of just lifting up the ceiling tiles, you know, are you up in here? And you could hear her moving around in the ceiling tiles. They finally caught her because she fell through the ceiling tile a second time. Police, again, don't know why she was in the ceiling. They don't know why she was in the restaurant. And I just thought this was interesting. One of the last lines, kind of a throwaway in the story, was, and police had no explanation on why she wasn't wearing pants. And you know what? That's going to be the least weird story you hear all day. Welcome to the program. I want to thank our sponsor. It's the Palm Beach Letter, Tika Tiwari's crypto course. 97% of my listeners have given his cryptocurrency course a 4 or 5 star rating. Comments all are like this. This is a great intro to crypto. Glenn, I'm 67. I hope to retire someday. I live paycheck to paycheck. I have just a little knowledge of how the stock market works. I leave that to my retirement guy. I was sure that I would be getting in over my head when I started all this. I took the course. Now I know what cryptocurrency and blockchain technology is and how it works. I am way ahead of where I was just 2 weeks ago. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking it. Tika Tiwari is a great teacher on this. He's one of the leading experts on cryptocurrency and blockchain. And you will see why this is transformative. You'll actually understand it. And that's the key to any investment. I'm not recommending anything to you. I have money in Bitcoin. I think everybody should have about $100 in Bitcoin at least, because it is transformational wealth. If this hits, if it's right, it's remarkable what's on the horizon. But you have to understand it. So take smartcryptocourse.com. Go there now. Sign up for the crypto course, smartcryptocourse.com, or call 877-PBL-BECK. 877-PBL-BECK. Get more information or go to smartcryptocourse.com. Going to be a sold-out crowd tonight in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm very excited to see you. And I have to tell you, I'm also equally excited. I'm hoping the Hershey Company is open tomorrow for a tour. I love their chocolate, but I even love Milton Hershey's story even more. Here's a guy who wanted to make chocolate. He was living in Philadelphia. He opens it up. He's trying to make this European chocolate. He fails, runs out of money, saves his money, tries to do it again, comes up with a new recipe, goes to New York, opens up a store, fails. Nobody wants his chocolate. He's so broke, he has to move in the middle of Pennsylvania in farmland country. He says to his mother, who was his biggest supporter, I give up. I can't do it. She says, you're an entrepreneur. Don't you dare give up. And he's like, Mom, nobody wants my chocolate. She said, find another way. So he did. He decided, maybe if I add milk, because he was in farmland country. Maybe if I add milk. Milk chocolate was born in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And thank God, I love Hershey chocolate. I just want to go down and just smell the air and kiss the threshold. And everyone who works at making chocolate, mainly for me.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.